for you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and my guess is this may be, because I think this is the longest this has happened, because this happened like three or four other times. And I'm wondering if there's something more to it this time, because I wondered if the phone was is just for E-System South, and I have no idea if there's anything at all happening anymore with E-System South. but I don't know. I'm just, again, Dorothy Jane's husband, the dad of nine kids. But, you know, what does that matter? I saw some things today, and I wanted to mention it, because some of the other things, the dialogue on Marriage Begins with Sex and Ends with Death, I did get some information back that I need to study. So I'm delighted that that's happening. So that'll probably be more in-depthly pursued this weekend. So I'm really encouraged by that, because somebody would actually rationally engage me. Why is it that it takes a Latter-day Saint to do that rather than somebody who says, yes, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible defines? Oh, no, but we don't deal with that man. An obedience to Christ? Really? Anyway. When I do my normal thing, because for some reason, when I sit down to eat, there's no one else here. And I listen to, frequently watch the videos from Dan Dix of Press for Truth out of Canada. And he had one at which I have a copy of, Now Lego Turns Trans, featuring transgender building sets for kids 5+. So I'll give you that video, and it you can watch it. And if you throw up because of it, I forewarned you. It's disgusting. It's really disgusting what apparently Lego is doing. But, you know, I find it fascinating because many years ago, I used to be fascinated with Legos. I used to be, as a young kid, I loved blocks, wooden blocks. My neighbor, he had a set of wooden blocks, and we would play and play and play with that, because it was just three or four different shapes, but a stack of them. And they were, you know, good size blocks. And it was wonderful. I loved playing with blocks because you had the freedom to make what you wanted. Legos was great like that because it has the way to connect things so it stays together solid. It was delightful. But over time, what I thought was the beginning of the downfall of Legos is when they had custom pieces and you'd go get a set in order to make a particular design. And so you're no longer just the generic stuff, just the building blocks, but you're building a particular design or a piece that has, you know, a whole bunch of pieces. You put it together to form a particular item. And so that the individual stuff that you do for yourself is gone. And now, of course, apparently there was some interaction with the corporation many years ago in reference to a bias towards guys. They've gone, you know, they address that, but they've gone way, way overboard on that. Now overtly, you know, I guess, you know, the comment is, it was, the Bud Light thing that people said, oh, look, that's doing very destructive things to our business. Let's follow that model. And of course, Target is doing the same thing. And apparently they've lost $10 billion in value. And of course, Lego is now doing the same thing. But something to note. When you see about how the stock value, is it Anheuser-Busch? That owns, yeah, Bud Light, their stock value went down several billion dollars, however many, and now Target has gone down $10 billion. And you say, oh, wow, that's a significant impact. Really? Is it really? Because What is it when a stock value goes down? The corporation loses nothing. It's just the people who want to buy it now can buy it at a lower price, or the people who want to sell it can't get the same amount of money out of it that they would have, you know, a few days ago. But the corporation is nothing to them. But one of the things that does, because I would suggest this is one of the reasons why you saw, especially like the fluctuation of price, the radical fluctuation of price and things like Bitcoin and so forth, is because what that does is if you can artificially inflate and deflate the price, what you do is you say, oh, I'm a holder of a stock, Target, for example. And I say, oh, look, Target has done something I disagree with. So, and the price has plummeted. And, well, I don't like them. So I'm going to sell the stock. I'm going to lose a lot of money, but I'm selling the stock and somebody else buys it. Give it a little time. I'm sure that price will come back up. And the people who bought it for a lower price, and they're making money. What this fluctuation of price does, it extracts out wealth, and probably mostly from the smaller investors, not from the big corporate players, because they don't care. You know, if I'm a BlackRock, a Vanguard, a State Street, you know, the I think they're the biggest three, that all they do is invest in other corporations, and they say, okay, this one has dropped by, you know, a huge price, we'll wait, and it'll go back up, no problem. But we still own the corporation because we're not in it for the short term. We're in it for the long term. And there's, you know, then of course there's the short sellers and all those kind of things. So I think when you see the oh no, they lost $10 billion of, they don't care. They don't care. And it's a manipulation of the stock. Again, it's that line that sunk in so intensely with me the day I was on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And I talked with, you know, it was a three of us. But it was basically a one-on-one conversation with the vice president of SIAC, the company that runs the technology on the trading floor. And he said, again, his almost exact words were, and the news today will be, he said, it'll be all over the news. The market closed for the first time over 3,000, obviously a long time ago. 1991, I think. And it'll be a lot of fanfare. And his statement, direct statement, we don't care. All we care about is volume. Again, so the point is, the stock exchange itself, their only purpose is we want you to buy and sell. And we don't care if you make money or lose money. We just want you to buy and sell. Price doesn't matter. Whether it goes up or down, doesn't matter. That's just fanfare. All we want you to do is buy and buy and buy and sell and sell and sell. We don't care. Again, direct from the horse's mouth. I guess it wasn't a horse. But anyway, you understand. But so, one of the things I thought about is I have a list right now of corporations that I simply will avoid. And again, I would contend this is my personal conviction. I will proclaim this, but I have no intention to impose it. I personally will avoid doing business with these corporations to whatever degree I can, not knowingly purchase from them. You know, starting with Amazon, because it's Amazon and Starbucks, both of them, to what varying degrees, pay for their employees' abortions. And if I'm pro-life, do I try to outlaw it? No. But do I endorse, use companies that will pay for abortions? No. I'm sorry, I won't. If it inconveniences me, well, I'm inconvenienced. Isn't it interesting that helicopters seem to be flying over during these voicemails? Another would be Big Lots and Food City, both of them, because both of them had their big signs in front of their stores saying, if you don't wear a mask, don't come in here. Several others have done this, and a lot of them simply said, well, you know, we put it out there to be politically correct, but, you know, we don't care. But Food City especially enforced it, and because there was a local incident here that occurred. So I don't go to Food City or Big Lots at all anymore. Obviously, I would not endorse Legos any further. An interesting thing is Legos and Mars are both privately held. Legos apparently is now the biggest toy manufacturer in the world. So, no, I won't deal with them. Mars obviously is huge. They have a plant. I walked by it today. And again, as I think of the way I said it in the modern day slavery video, you know, if you eat an M&M, which is, if you eat an M&M domestically, most likely it was made right here down the street at that plant. Because like they make about half of them, of the ones sold in the U.S. So you eat an M&M, you know, goes down good, and it hopefully will cause you a serious heartache because it came from abject slave labor. And, you know, there's some suggestion that a lot of the people who are doing the harvesting of cocoa never taste chocolate in their lives. The other company like that is, of course, Nestle. Same thing, which Nestle arguably is the largest user of abject slave labor there is. Obviously, Target, you know, but the, you know, see, Target and Walmart, the issue with Target and Walmart is I haven't been in there in years. Last time I was in Walmart, maybe probably at least 6 years. Target is closer to 10. I just don't go in those places because I make a conscious effort to go to the smaller places. And the other is VF Corporation. You say, VF Corp, what is that? It's the North Face. It's a clothing line. They own that. And because they had this rather provocative promotion of homosexuality of late. I believe in the video that I linked from Dan Dix. I think he has some of the images from that. It's pretty offensive. So, you know, but again, this is personal conviction. Now, the question I'm wondering about is, to what degree do you proclaim this? And I'm wondering about this. But there's something else, because one of the things I see, and it leads to a second issue, but one of the things I see is a lot of people are saying, oh, those people, that other side, this news agency, this political party, this entity, whatever it is, they're liars. And if those are on the other team, or somebody that you have been grown accustomed to saying, well, I disrespect them, it's raw, those people are liars. But an incident occurred. Apparently it was March 26th. Lindsey Graham, the senator, I think he's the one that's called the senator from Jerusalem. Anyway, I think it's him. I could be somebody else. But anyway, he met Vladimir Zelensky in Kiev. I think it was in Kiev. Pretty sure it was in Kiev. It may have been in Kiev. I don't know. The news reports about it have been fascinating because it caused a lot of commotion. So, you know, if you start back, I saw a report March 4th, and I did a little bit of research on this, and I'm thinking this was a waste of time, but I hope it gives an idea. March 4th of 2022, RT had an article, U.S. Senator calls for assassination of Putin, Lindsey Graham. So that was the lead. And Senator Lindsey Graham urges somebody in Russia to do the world, a great service. And you can see in context, because of a tweet that he had, that basically he was saying, yeah, it would be a good idea for somebody. I think he said the term was to take him out. So he was saying that, you know, yeah, I think somebody should assassinate Putin. And so that would be an offensive comment if you were, you know, Russian or Russian leaning, right? So that's kind of sets the stage and puts, you know, the tension between Russia and Graham, you know, sets the stage. But then there's a a comment in an article. In the video from the May 26 meeting, Graham is heard telling Ukrainian leader USA to support Ukraine was, quote, the best money we've ever spent. And I saw the video and I saw the clipped version. And he does indeed say that. But now the question is context. Because, you know, apparently he is indeed talking, but it appears, and I'm not sure about this, the context in the clipped version seems to be the best money we spent by killing Russians. It seems to be that what he said was the best money we spent because it supports the U.S. military industrial complex. What is the truth? I'm not sure, because obviously one inflames more than the other, but both are less than ideal. But then Lindsey Graham responded with a tweet, and an article quoted the tweet. I saw the tweet, and the quote seems to be accurate. Finally, here is an offer to my Russian, quote, friends who want to arrest and try me for calling out the Putin regime as being war criminals. I will submit to jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court if you do, Graham tweeted, which indeed he tweeted, and then it continues. Come, make your best case. See you in The Hague. So that's kind of Graham coming out. Yeah, I'm ready to fight because I'm right. There's a little point that he doesn't mention. The United States doesn't recognize the International Criminal Court. It doesn't matter what to do. They've done a whole lot of things that when the U.S. says, well, we don't agree with that, so we ignore it. They don't have any authority. You know, what authority does this organization have over the United States or Russia or any other? They don't. It's politics at its finest, isn't it? So he's making this dramatic claim. And it sounds bold that he is rah, rah, but it's fluff. It means nothing. But then another article said the head of a Russian state broadcaster absurdly threatened Senator Lindsey Graham in the wake of the Republicans' recent meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. And it sounds like, ooh, who was it that did that? The head of RT. And they have this program, and there's a group that does the translation of some Russian programs, and they you know, I've got it, so I'll try to make sure I leave it, because when you see it, they're giving you a conclusion, but they even show you what's said, and what is said does not quite say that. You know, because there was this idea that, you know, we've got your address, we got your phone number kind of thing. But to threaten, or even, I think there's some saying threaten with assassination, you're embellishing as much as the video from Lindsey Graham was embellished. So, you know, the issue is, it depends on which side. Both sides, in this particular case, you can see clear evidence. Both sides of the question have embellished the videos. One, the video of Graham and Zelensky. One, Russian news organization, and the comments by the head of RT. They've taken those words and put on a meaning in order to fit an agenda. So both sides have done the exact same thing in the sense of trying to distort the meaning. You know, sometimes I see it only on one side. The U.S. does it constantly. The Ukrainian, they do it constantly. I've been a little bit harder to find it from RT. What I've seen in RT mostly is the embellishment of the humor, or, you know, especially the most common thing, because I would see often little clips of Biden stumbling over something. So they would show that. But that's it doesn't matter. You know, if if what I say or my value or the correctness of what I say loses its value because I stumble over something, I don't say it right, or I fall off of a bike and whatnot, I'm sorry. That's useless. That's naive. And, you know, I see that mostly with RT. Whereas in the Western journalism, what I see is outright lies. Or taking things and doing dramatic distortion. So I give you these examples. And, you know, I spent about an hour looking at this. And I said, okay, I've got to stop. Because what I saw on that, and I thought, okay, I'll comment on this. But the issue is, this is the politics of the world. I don't care. What you can see is, I cannot embrace what RT said, or the Russian government, whatnot, nor can I embrace the West, U.S. government, and so forth. Because in both cases, it doesn't matter whether or not what they say is true or false, whether or not what they're doing is appropriate for a country, in the sense of, is Russia defending Russians or attacking Ukrainians? That's the question. Is the U.S. defending Ukrainians, or are they the ones that initiated the Maidan Revolution in 2014 and started the killing the Russians back in 2014? So, you know, it's those kind of questions. So if you look at the political sense, you know, right now it does seem, because again, the U.S. has this bad habit of lying the population into war. We did it with Vietnam War. We did it with Iraq 1 and 2. We've done it with Syria and so forth. We do it with Yemen. You know, we're still occupying Syria. We lie. I mean, you can even go back, you know, the Remember the Maine and the unprovoked attack on Pearl Harbor. No, that was provoked. We lie ourselves into war. So would I stand behind the U.S. in the case of Ukraine? U.S. doesn't have credibility. Zip. And the evidence of our part. But now, does the Russian government have is it appropriate for them to go in with guns and bombs? You know, that's a problem. That's a real problem. But what I'm seeing in myself is, sure, I can see this, I can see the distortion. My concern is not the Russian government, the U.S. government, the Ukrainian government. It's the Russian people, the Ukrainian people, the U.S. people, not the governments. And I think that's where the focus is. So to whatever degree is it appropriate to say, look, your government, whether it's Russian, Ukrainian, U.S., the West, is lying to you. To what degree is that appropriate? Especially the U.S., because this is where I live. You know, but what I've done is, I was thinking about that, and I see this distortion. And I'm thinking, okay, I spent an hour. I got to stop doing that. Because I'd rather spend several hours reading the Book of Mormon, or Doctrines and Covenants is the passages that have been presented to me, in order to contend with a friend. Again, contend is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not striving to defeat. Again, this is the philonikos that I've described. I'm not trying to triumph over a friend or vanquish a friend. I'm trying to contend with a friend for the truth, running to the common goal of the truth. I would rather invest my time not studying the fallacies produced by the Western media or the Russian media or wherever fallacies are produced, but study where I can go to someone where my joy is found in knowing Christ, knowing my Creator. And I want to go to someone else and say, look, I will contend you're either following a false god, the atheist, the Muslim, or a distorted version of Christ, which I will contend Latter-day Saints do. But I will not condemn the Muslim, the Latter-day Saint, the atheist, whatnot. I will not condemn them. I will contend with them as an act of love, pointing them to the veracity of Christ, the veracity of the Bible, and to see that as a love letter to them. I would suggest the one advantage I have with my friend in Utah is that in a real sense, he's trying to do the opposite with me, opposite in the sense of he wants to show me the veracity of Joseph Smith and so forth. That's why I have, it's over there. You know, I have a copy of the Book of Mormon, A Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines of Covenants. You know, I've had an electronic copy for a long time. Now I have a physical copy. Because I don't disrespect these people. I respect them, and I'm trying to love them. And in the process, I find out areas where I've got it wrong. I know that's kind of hard to think, but yes, there are areas where I have it wrong. And I want to know that. And one of the places I find my errors is not necessarily from those who agree with me, but those who disagree with me. They will say, here's a challenge for you, who will rationally engage me. Here's a challenge for you. And I can look and I can say, all right, on point A, I suggest this and you suggest that. And I will say, well, okay, I will examine what you say and realize that my stand is 50% wrong. You know. So, and I will refine that because I look at the evidence and say, okay, I had it partially wrong. But, you know, and I appreciate someone who's pointing me way off in la-la land, maybe, to say, okay, now I refine myself. Or bring up a question more, you know, simply I didn't. The technique that I pointed out that's used by what's his name, the harmonic atheist. Anyway, him. Because what he does, what I saw in the interview with Erica Lee, my eldest daughter, is he would go to a point and give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Related items in order to overwhelm you. And the issue is, it's kind of like somebody says, all right, I'm going to give you verse A, verse B, verse C, verse D of the Bible. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I've studied verse C, but A, B, and F, and G, and H, and I haven't given that much study to. And so you're just simply overwhelming me and I'm not prepared. And you're doing that in order to say, look, I've got all this, and you can't come back. It's a technique. It is not a way to search for the truth. It is not saying, let's have a rational dialogue. It's, I'm going to try to defeat you. It's Philonikos. It's exactly the model of Philonikos. I'm trying to defeat you. Whereas, if you say, okay, I have studied 10 points. I can list these 10 points. You have studied 3 of those 10 points. Let's engage each other on those 3, and I will set before you the other 7, and let's engage in them later once you're prepared. But if I simply say, I'm going to give you these other 7 points, and if you can't engage me now, you're wrong, you're bad, I win, you lose. You're triumphing over our friend. We have no such practice, as the Bible says. That's not the way to do things. If I want to engage somebody on marriage begins with sex and ends with death, I lay out my case. And somebody can respond back and say, as is exactly what is happening. Somebody will say, no, on this particular areas. Well, now we can rationally engage because we're not trying to defeat each other. We're looking for the truth. But if I, again, it's a common technique. And which you see in this stuff going back and forth by, you know, Lindsey Graham and the various, you know, again, he's a lightning rod in the first place. But I think what happens is you then, oh, my team has said something, whether it's for or against. So we either make Lindsey Graham look bad or make him look good. Whatever my team wants to support, if my team gives a, it doesn't matter if it's true, but if my team makes a comment that makes him look bad or good and it consistent with my team, go team. I'm sorry, that's wrong. It's, you know, it's the George Bush when he was interviewed by Vovin and Lexus, when he thought he was talking to Vladimir Zelensky and said, you know, we're trying to help you. We want to try to help you. Go kill more Russians. That's George Bush, the former president of the U.S., saying that directly to what he thought was Vladimir Zelensky. And if that's a good role model, anyway, this is a problem. So I do think I did get distracted, and it's a mistake on my part. My objective, it is like what I did yesterday, just looking at the one verse within, was it 2 Corinthians 5? The 2 Corinthians 5? Anyway, because what I saw in there was God's love. And I want to celebrate God's love. Because, you know, the war in Ukraine is there to, you know, let's go spend money. Let's build a military-industrial complex. You know, because, again, we're not spending any money in Afghanistan. We need a new war. I mean, literally. Why did we go into Afghanistan? Well, Iraq was falling apart. And why did we go to, you know, Afghanistan? Well, Syria didn't work out too well. Yemen is not a big deal. Somalia wasn't that as big of a deal. And, of course, Vietnam's long ago. So we need that place to throw the money at so we can say, look, we're spending all sorts of money here defending democracy and making a killing, literally, both in those people and in a lot of money. And, of course, gaining power at the same time. Again, don't defend democracy, defend freedom, because they're opposites. Democracy and freedom are opposites. And Ukraine is not a democracy. Again, the amount of, you know, they oh, there's, oh, gee. One other thing, because, and I'll include that. There was an article in Global Research. Chasadovsky, the guy who runs it, wrote an article, and he had a video, apparently, from Vladimir Zelensky 10-plus years ago, talking about how, you know, and you know, it's, you know, because apparently Vladimir Zelensky's native language is Russian, not Ukrainian. He's only learned Ukrainian a few years ago. He's now outlawed the Russian language in Ukraine. Burning books. Did somebody else do that? Oh, do you see the big, huge fires of people throwing books together? Oh, what regime was that? That was the National Socialist German Workers' Parties, the Nazis. We're doing it again, because they are doing it again. Literally millions of books. They're burning them. They're outlawing Russian authors, composers, and so forth. And anyone, you know, and of course, it's not a free media. They shut down competitive political parties and competitive media. But what he did is he has a video here that is, you know, because again, as I have already on the website, where Vladimir Zelensky, you know, he was a comedian and a, shall we say, a pornographic comedian. And I gave you the one video a while back of that, where somebody did a composition of those things. You know, this is not what I call a role model. But of course, you know, when you know, But of course, Target promoting, homosexuality to our kids, well, you know, seems consistent, doesn't it? But what he was talking about is that the Russians are our brothers at that time. Now he wants to kill him. It's an amazing thing, again, because it's his native language. And he belongs to a Russian Jewish family. He was brought up in a native Russian speaker who until recently was not fluent in Ukrainian. But obviously he's the savior of the world, right? Anyway, it's the distortion, the marketing is phenomenal. But, you know, again, you're looking to a man. No, there's only one man to look to, the man Christ Jesus. Not to me, not to a political authority, not to a religious authority, the man Christ Jesus, as we see in the scripture. Why? Because he's not just a man. He's the creator. That's such a big deal. Anyway, before I get to 40 minutes. I want to encourage my kids. Oh, I did send a postcard, a happy birthday postcard to James because it's 5 days away or whatever. And I congratulate him on his earned doctorate. You know, again, there is the difference between a honorary doctorate and an earned doctorate. So I congratulate him on his earned doctorate that, you know, it's very impressive for somebody who's about to turn four. Anyway, he's my grandson and I'm biased. Am I biased? Yes. Have I ever met him? No. But am I biased? Yes. Again, I did the N-words video for him. And him and his sister, Charlotte, same with the Black Families Matter, motivated by that family. My postcard yesterday, excuse me, my postcard, when was it? Recently to George, I don't know how long ago that was now. I did somebody, or maybe I just did my video. I said I was about to make 800,000. Did I say that yesterday? 800,000 Jumpy Jacks. Well, I would like to officially announce, if you go to the Jumpy Jacks, you'll find that as of today, I have done 800,000 Jumpy Jacks. No, officially, obviously, I've done a whole lot more, but I've done 800,000 jumping jacks. The million seems like a real possibility. I want to do it with George at the top of Big Frog Mountain. And, you know, I walked to Publix today and I took the route I haven't done in a while because I go up and down a hill. When I get to the top of that hill in the background, I can see mountains, and I'm not sure which is which yet, but I'm quite confident one of the mountains that I see is Big Frog. I've been to the top 3 times, and I'm going to be there at least 4 on December 8th, and I'd like to do it with George. It's not a minor thing. It's a big deal. I want to do it with George. I want to do it with George. I want George to be able to celebrate that his dad, by that time, almost 68 years old, will have completed 1 million jumping jacks. Just like the lady I met yesterday said, you know, you seem healthy. Well, I am. I went and bought to the farmer's market today, and one of the comments was, you know, about, again, because I said I felt like I'm overeating, and he says, what? The way you walk should be doing a whole bit more. So, you know, again, I have the reputation. I understand that it could collapse. I may not make the million. I may not be able to walk even tomorrow. I don't know. But the odds are, evidence is pointing to a real possibility that December 8th of 2023, about 6 months from now, I'll be doing my 1 millionth jumping jack. George, I want you there. Please. I really want you there. I said I was going to try to beat 40 minutes. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I'm trying to get to our kids. I'm trying to show them love. I'm trying to show you love. My lady, I love you and I want you back.